Disclaimer. In the interest of maintaining confidentiality, some names and identifying characteristics of individuals and locations have been changed. The canary concept. As recently as 1986, in the coal mining regions of the United States, miners journeying deep into the mines carried canaries in small cages. The canaries would serve two purposes. First, they became a mascot of sorts, an encouraging little companion to care for and notice during the days of long work. Second, they were an important safety meter. If the canary happily sang and swung in its cage, as canaries should, the miners knew they were safe to continue their work. However, if the canary stopped and dropped, toxic air was undoubtedly present. The miners knew they must quickly grab the canary and run fast toward the clean air as if their lives depended on it. Because they did. I would contend that we have a canary meter system in place today. The air is constantly being gauged for its level of toxicity. The canaries are our children, and they continue to serve two purposes. We know, as a society, to notice them and how we collectively feel when they are well and enjoying the pleasures of lives that we work diligently to provide. We then must also know that when they stop singing and swinging, the air has become too toxic for them to thrive. When we realize this, we must not dawdle, but run fast toward clean air as if their lives depend on it. Because they do. The collective group of young ones are a gauge for the air we are creating. Our every exhale collectively creates the air our children breathe. The environment they will grow and develop in, and the way they learn how the air should feel and be. The Centers for Disease Control data reveals that over the past 20 years, suicide rates have skyrocketed by over 60% among children, with almost every suicide indicator and student population showing increasing trends. The report by Aisha Z. Ivy Stevenson, PhD, concludes, suicide is a leading cause of death among youths. However, many more youths are at risk for suicide as a result of experiencing suicidal ideation, making suicide plans, and attempting suicide, making a focus on non-fatal suicidal behavior a crucial public health priority. This data is startling, and many programs, investments, research projects, and collective attempts are underway to reduce this dangerous trend. But should we begin to ask the ever-important question? Why? Why are our canaries, whom we believe should be the picture of carefree health and happiness, becoming so full of despair that one in five seriously considers suicide? Perhaps it is the air they breathe, the air we are creating for them. Bullying, belittling, canceling, condemning, and excluding are a normal part of most students' days. Their days are not too different than ours. The air has toxic undertones, and adults are coping in increasingly unhealthy ways. These frequently accessed maladaptive coping measures include alcohol, drugs, sex, spending, venting, ranting, and binging. However, many of these coping skills are restricted or not available to students. So they binge on social media, seeking connection and care from a world that feels very real to them when adults are not present, or worse, present, but not available. But in the unmonitored, widespread reach of social media, where young people frequently find the community they need, they find a toxicity that mirrors what they are trying to escape. So where do our canaries go to breathe fresh, clean, healing air? Where are the safe spaces, places, and people in their lives? Do we even notice their need for encouragement, love, care, and connection? Do we even care? Or is it possible we also are gasping and barely able to survive? What and who are creating this toxic environment? Could it be all of us? In the current era, do we find ourselves armchair therapists, analysts, experts, and reporters who are caught up in the craze of canceling the ideas and views of others in a way that is harmful, hurtful, and even dangerous? Do our opinions matter more than people? Is our attempt to feel honored made through demeaning others while demanding their respect? Are our own inner strivings creating a culture of strife experienced by all? Are we so unhappy with who we are that we cannot possibly be happy with anyone else? Are we personally injured or clean air deprived so that we cannot engage in life fully, but instead, out of our own hurt and unmet needs, we lunge in hurtful ways toward others? Is our own personal worth and value assigned only by what we do, produce, have, or by the number of people who will listen and like our rants? Do we push and try and then collapse and quit several times each day, week, or month? Do we believe we matter? Do we believe anyone matters? If we realize how toxic the air is becoming, by our own efforts to inhale, coupled with our acknowledgement of unhealthy exhales, how do we improve our collective air quality? Can we develop a plan to shift the air? Could we possibly make a difference? This book has one simple goal: to help clear the toxic air for you, for me, for all of us. Our children, our canaries, are daily demonstrating that this culture has created such toxic air that the youngest among us cannot survive if we do not act now. So, will you join me? Will you consider the 12 steps in this book, doing the brave work of personal reflection, and develop a plan for you to overcome the toxic air culture and create a path to healthy and hope-filled exhales? I believe you can do it. I believe I can do it. And I believe together we can change the air we all breathe.